Welcome to NHL Fantasy on Ice, the Thursday edition. Pete Robb and Davey Goalie Master and Insider Satriano is in the mix to help break down the slate. Reaction to the San Jose Sharks coaching change. What are the fantasy implications? Plus, DFS plays, best bets, value spots, premium plays, over-unders, the works. Buckle up for the Thursday edition.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. A beautiful Thursday, boys. We got our FanDuel contest. Petey boy, what's up?
Not much, man. A lot's happening out in the Bay Area with Pete DeBoer out. Another coaching change this week. Two coaching changes and two shows. How about that? And we got Davey Boy Satriano in the house.
What's up, Davey?
Checked my Twitter feed right before we got on the air. There have been no coaches fired as of 11 a.m. this morning.
Very nice. So. Insider Davey with the information. Appreciate it. Boys, Tuesday slate. First, let's get some reaction on this Pete DeBoer firing. I think we all knew there was a point where we thought it was going to happen. Then they sort of played better. We thought maybe that had passed, and the struggles have continued. Needed to wake the Sharks up. It happened.
Is everybody trying to copy the Blues?
Yeah, it worked last year, so everybody's giving it a go, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's better moves for certain teams. Like, we've seen great results for the Flames, for the Leafs. Who knows what's going to happen with Dallas, but there's a good chance for a turnaround here. But the Sharks' problems run much deeper than Martin Jones, much deeper than Pete DeBoer. And Davey, what are your thoughts? Because you're a goalie guru, and that's their first order of business to solve.
Well, first, I don't know if you guys knew this. I was in San Jose for the playoffs last year.
Did you cover
saw,
them?
And when I saw them.
Oh, God.
First of all, Pete DeBoer, I think he's a good coach. He won, I think, like 9 of 13 series that he had been in previously. He took the Devils team that really had hardly anyone, two offensive guys, no goalies, no defense, to the Cup final. But to me, what was weird was they didn't just fire him. They fired the whole staff. I mean, they're all gone. So something was up. I wouldn't have done this if I were them. I would have done it earlier. You know, they had lost 5 in a row, but he's not the problem, as you said. So we'll have to see what's going to happen now.
So fantasy-wise, what are you thinking for who gets the short-term boost here?
Well, we talked about yesterday when your day before when your D-ranks came out, like Brent Burns is outside the top 10. It was a great buy-low window, I thought, to begin with. But certainly a new coach could spark the power play. The power play is like 1-for-30 over the past 10-plus games. Not good for a team with so much talent. Whether it's Carlson or Burns, they have the tools, the weapons to solve that problem with a new coach.
There's no two ways about it. Erik Karlsson, he's an elite player. He has not played elite, really, from last year's playoffs to now. For this Sharks team to be where they want to be, Karlsson's got to get it going here. Karlsson has to be an elite player. He can't just be an above-average player. He has to be the guy that they signed, an elite defenseman that's doing it all up and down the ice, points, assists, goals. It's not happening.
You're right, Bob, and that's the one player I would focus in on in fantasy. He's got to be the guy. We need the Ottawa Erik Karlsson back in action for the San Jose Sharks. All forwards go through bouts of inconsistency. It happens on every team. That's not exclusive to San Jose. So you got to look at their blue line, and starts with EK65.
And as far as the goalies go, I really don't think this does anything for them. Jones isn't going to play any better. Well, he wasn't playing great, but it doesn't do anything for either goalie right now.
It's tough, too, because they signed Karlsson to the long-term deal, big money, they couldn't fit everybody in. Third of their top 9 forward group was gone start of the season between Donskoy, Pavelski, guys like that. So I think Nyquist was another one that was playing in the top 9 in the playoffs and played really well for them. So it, in terms of like solving the goaltending woes, it's kind of like on Martin Jones because they don't have the cap flexibility. That's one thing that hurt the Sharks this particular year after signing Karlsson.
Yeah, I just don't think they have that roster to really do it anymore. I think when the Blues, let's just go back to them last year, we were saying for years, they have the talent to do this thing. They have the talent to be first in their division. But I think that system held them back. As soon as that system went away, they flourished. For San Jose, I don't think it's necessarily the system. Yes, they can capture a short-term boost. I'm actually banking on Martin Jones tonight in DFS, which is really a gamble. But that being said, moving forward, I don't think we're going to see the same result as St. Louis had last season.
And I mentioned last show about Tomas Hertl. I'm a little concerned because he had the little injury tweak or whatever and then missed a couple of games. Now he's back. I'm actually drafting him tonight in the hope that this could get the top six going. One question I wanted to ask you guys is, like, do you think that the top six right now is good enough? Like, Barclay Goodrow has been like a fixture in the top six this year, hasn't done anything over the past like month of the season. How do you tweak it? How do you change something in that forward group?
Well, I heard an interesting take that some of the assistants that they promoted know these AHL guys who work with the Barracuda. One of the guys was the coach of the AHL team for 22 years. So they said this is a chance where they think a lot of the guys who are in the AHL or the bottom six, they're going to give them opportunities. So I think we might see some guys step in there from the Barracuda and the AHL and come up, and they got nothing else to lose at this point.
Okay, so last word here on the Sharks. Is there one player in particular, like a Vander Kane? Is it the hurdle with the injury concerns? Is it the Carlson? Is there one guy you're going after now that you view in a different light?
I think one guy that could get better power play usage is Timo Meier, who has a high shot volume, high hit volume, had a breakout season last year. I think he could be in line for better usage, and I think you could get him for very little right now. Mm-hmm. People still view Hurdle. People still view Burns. Some of these guys, Evander Kane, with a high price tag in fantasy. Meier, I think everybody's off the ship, and maybe if you jump on him now, you could get him for very little.
I honestly really don't know. I don't have any Sharks on any of my teams, as it turns out. On my,
you,
any
have
my daily...
you have Carlson, don't you? Remember I tried to trade for him
on that
auto
one
draft
league.
Team?
You're right, that one league.
Yeah.
But other than that, no offensive guys. I mean, they're not a team that I've been like, oh, I need these guys, or I need to trade for these guys. I'm not really sure what's going to happen with the coach.
So the question I have before we move to the Tuesday slate, some other fantasy storylines, is, Davey, will this team, will you be with San Jose this time around when they're in the playoffs, or will they be out of the playoffs? What's your pulse right now? Answer, no hesitation, let's go.
I think they're going to make the playoffs. They could be a wild card. They could be a number three. The lower part of that division, the middle part, isn't that great right now in the Pacific, so I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they reel off four wins or something, they're right back in there.
Okay.
Look at what the Flames just did. They won a nice little hottie, and they're 2 points out of the division lead, which is now held by Arizona and Edmonton. The Sharks are not that far behind Calgary, and I think they're only like 8 points out of the division lead. So a lot of room for error, really, and we've seen it so far. A couple of long losing streaks for this team. 2 5-game winless streaks, and also a 4-game losing streak to start the season. So they just need some more consistency under Bob Bugner.
Bob Bugner, yes. We'll see how he does in San Jose. Let's move forward.
The hottest player right now in the NHL is Jack Eichel. I think, I know Davey has him in the lineup. I have him in the lineup tonight against Nashville. Is this a player that is a must roster at this point?
I think he has to be, because I have him in my lineup too, and I'm actually rolling the dice. I have Rasmus Dahlin in my lineup. It sounds like he's going to be a game time decision, which is great news for one of the best young defensemen in the game, coming off a concussion, missed a couple of games, but game time decision, skating this week. I like the sound of that. I like the sound of Dahlin back on power play one, where he belongs with Eichel. And the scary thing is it could help Eichel and the Sabres, who are already playing great.
Yeah, usually Boston's the team, or Toronto, that I usually look at. Mainly Boston for these big slates in the top line. But this is the first time all season that I've had Eichel. I don't care how high his price is, 14-game point streak, 2 goals or whatever it was the other night. So, yeah, he'll pop off again tonight.
And I've got him stacked with Sam Reinhart tonight too, who's quietly playing pretty well. Anybody that's playing 20-plus minutes alongside Jack Eichel, I mean, that's a no-brainer. And if you can't spend up for Eichel in your lineup tonight, no worries. Spend down for a guy like Reinhart, or even, as Pete mentioned, Dahlin's good exposure too.
Dahlin's only 5,100, so I like that price point for sure. Victor Olofsson's expensive, but he's been performing well. I actually looked, he's tied with Cale Makar for the rookie lead in points right now. I mean, Makar has been out with the past 2 games now, but still, he's closed the gap really quickly, and maybe at the second quarter mark, he's in some of our top threes in the Calder race.
The thing I worry about here still with the Sabres is that they were playing like this earlier this year. Like, we saw this Sabres team playing well like this, everybody producing, and then we saw them fall off the face of the earth. So I want to gauge this team. That being said, I obviously have Jack Eichel in my lineup. I have 2 Sabres tonight, but I do want to see a more consistent stretch from this team moving forward.
Well, they beat the Blues the other day. I know they had 2 empty net goals, but they played a really good game. It was at home. Nashville isn't as good as the Blues, so I think they're going to win tonight. You know, could score 3 or 4, but I think tonight's not the night that things go south for Buffalo.
PD and I were on the Sabres the other night, and I'll say that they played a very crisp game, and it was a nice, well-played victory, very tidy. And they're underdogs tonight at home.
Wow.
Plus 140 or so. So
that's fishy.
It is a little fishy. That's all I'll say.
I mean, if Dahlin plays, this is one of those games. We've been on these type of games all week where follow the trends leading up to puck drop. And sometimes you like it even more. Like the other day, I liked the Sabres when we did the show. And then we found out Jake Allen was starting. So I liked him even more. And Bobby liked him. We got on the train to Buffalo. Let's go Buffalo train. And worked out really well.
So the Davey watch game tonight, Boston-Tampa Bay. Boston just played Wednesday night, lost to the Caps. Now they've got to respond against the Bolts. Where are we leaning here, Davey?
I'm actually leaning towards Tampa Bay in this one. They need to respond, too. They're, what are they, like six in the division now? I mean, they're just they're not even in a playoff spot right now. I know they were not they were having nothing on the regular season this year, but you still have to make the playoffs. And they're just not – they haven't been playing well. Boston did play last night. I know they lost, but I think Tampa Bay I would lean towards today, although I don't have any players in this game because it could go either way, right? I mean, you could take the whole Boston top line. They could get shut out. Vasilevskiy could not allow a goal, or he could allow three goals.
That's a tough back-to-back for Boston, really, really. But they're an excellent team. That game last night against the Capitals could have gone either way. Some great chances on both ends. Holtby was phenomenal. Listen, Tampa Bay, I don't know what to say. I told you, I'm not betting them, and I'm not betting against them because they're just so inconsistent.
I mean, who do I trust more in this game? It's Boston, even though they're on a second of a back-to-back, game-to-game, two nights in a row to trust Tampa Bay. Can't say they've shown me anything to instill confidence there.
I will say, to Tampa Bay's credit, Vassy is trending up quietly, slowly but surely. He is a guy in fantasy that I would love to own for the remainder of the season. And I simply cannot see that team missing the playoffs. I think they have a nice response tonight. I think it's a tight scoring game, but I do say Tampa wins outright.
Tampa Bay, Toronto find their way in, and who slips out remains to be seen. Might be the Penguins, but they're going to get Crosby back. That's one thing I wanted to get to with Davey. There's been this debate with Georgiev and Tristan Jarry, like who's the better ad right now. It's been going on all week. I got another question about it last night. Where do you stand on it? Because one thing that we haven't mentioned about the pro Penguins angle is that Crosby will eventually come back, and maybe that could decide this debate.
I still like Jarry right now. I mean, look at the games that he's played in as opposed to the ones Matt Murray's played in. He hasn't been playing well. We've seen this from Murray before. He's a really streaky guy. I mean, not even to mention the injuries. I think Jarry, if I had to choose between Jarry and Georgiev, I'd pick Jarry, especially as you mentioned, Crosby comes back. It's an extra goal a game support for this guy who can be starting every other game or two out of three. So to me, that's a no-brainer.
And I've got a ton of pens in my lineup tonight. I have four of them, which is a little bit loco. But that being said,
it is the max. Four.
As I think we've all learned here the hard way, that is the max for the roster. But Pittsburgh's a team where, you mentioned it, Pete, without Crosby, they've still been playing great. And I love to see that. They've got guys like John Marino on the back end stepping up. He's a great value play in DFS. Malkin's career numbers against Columbus are insane. 32 points in 26 games. Brian Rust now alongside Malkin has been great for that team. So fantasy-wise, in all formats, this is a team you're going to want to pay attention to. And I'll answer that Jarry question as well. I'm curious to see who they start tonight because we've seen this before. It happens every year where Murray has a bad stretch or he's injured. And one of their backups last year was to Smith mainly, who played well in his absence. This year it's been Jarry. So, you know, keep an eye on that. If you did pick up Jarry, it's a situation where you still cannot drop Murray.
Lost to Montreal the other night for Pittsburgh. They try to bounce back here. Rust, I'm on him as well. He's a great price point in DFS, and he's better than a point per game on the season. He had an assist against Montreal and five shots on goal, playing with Gensel and Malkin. For the time being, that's one of the, 15 best lines in the league for sure.
Well, I don't know if we all have the same lineups because I got Rust too. So what, we all have Eichel and Rust tonight, I guess?
We didn't talk to each other before the show. So
I think we're just rounding in the form, boys. We're on the same wavelength. Getting warmed up here.
For sure. So, Davey, what goalie do you like tonight on this loaded Thursday slate? FanDuel contest. Remember, everybody, check that out. It's actually becoming a more exclusive contest. 396 entries today. So get in there right now as you're listening.
Well, that's good because then I can finish in 476th again.
Maybe that's why they did it.
But I got Connor Hellebuck tonight. He's playing Detroit. I know he's expensive. I haven't been on this guy all season, but Detroit, man, they've lost 12 in a row. They've scored 21 goals in the 12 games. They've allowed four goals a game. four goals a game this season. That's insane. We haven't seen those numbers since like the 80s of a team doing that.
Well, and they're going to have to win a game eventually.
Yeah, but they're not going to do it tonight. They're not going to beat the Jets. Connor Hellebuck, he's expensive. Even if he allows a goal, hopefully gets a shutout, but he's my guy tonight.
I just have never had success, Davey, when I'm spending up for the most expensive goalie on the slate. I've never gotten close to winning a contest like that. And, you know, what's led me to have Martin Jones in my lineup is that exact logic.
That's a fair point, actually, because if you have a guy like Jones, you know, the coaching change maybe sparks him playing the Rangers, and he's a lot cheaper. He can spend the money elsewhere.
So we asked the goalie master who his goalie is, and he gives the most expensive goalie on the board.
I think I saw Freddie Anderson as the most expensive, which is kind of weird.
Okay. I think he was
they're
third
playing
or fourth.
At Calgary. I don't really like that matchup.
Can you give me an against the grain guy that maybe is not going to take up your entire cost here? Gee whiz, Davey, you're the goalie master. You can't give the most expensive or one of
the
most
guy
expensive
who I
goalies.
In my own. All right.
Okay, so give us another option, goalie master. That's okay. All I'm asking.
So Edmonton's playing the Wild. We saw what happened last time. I think Minnesota is favored again tonight, but I think Edmonton's going to win. So if I had to pick a cheaper goalie, I would take Koskinen or whoever's starting for them.
Thank you very much, Davey.
The Minnesota gambling mystery lives on. The fact that they're favored again tonight versus Edmonton.
Yeah, I'm worried about Minnesota, though, because I guess Eric Staal got banged up the other day, and Mikko Koivu's out. So all of a sudden, their top two centers are out. So who's going to step up for them? I'm not sure I know a capable, Luke Kunin was playing like with Fiala and Zach Parise. I mean, rough. I don't know that. I think I'm siding with Edmonton, too, there.
Well, there you go. I got my goalie. You're against the grain goalie, so we're all settled.
It's the Minnesota goalie tonight? Is your against the grain one? I wasn't paying attention.
Well, Edmonton, because they're not
favored.
Oh,
Edmonton. Okay. I like that.
And as you mentioned, Minnesota's in shambles.
I like that.
Nice to see Robbie really focused on the program. But
no, it's not that. I was just thinking, I was looking at the odds again for this game, and I still can't get over this Minnesota thing, especially, as Pete mentioned, with their top center, their top two centers out of the lineup. What in what world are they favored? That almost makes me think that Vegas always knows something that we do not know.
Well, I know something Zach Kassian is worth getting in your lineup. We were pumping him up the other day, pumping his tires. He had two goals, four hits, five shots, playing with his two usual buddies on the top line. And, yeah, Kassian is in my lineup again tonight.
I don't have any Oilers tonight, but I actually looked at him. I said that for his price, who he's playing with, it's a guy you always got to look at.
Now, how about a great Western Conference matchup here? Vegas, St. Louis, two heavy hitter teams. Nice to see Marc-Andre Fleury back for the Knights. Now, Jake Allen versus Jordan Binnington, quietly becoming a little bit of a controversy. I think it should be Binnington tonight. Does that make you lean one way or the other here, boys?
I'm not worried about Binnington. That said, I'm probably just going to sit back and watch this game. Two of the teams that you expect to be in the top five in the Western Conference. Blues are not playing well. Dire need of a bounce back game after losing three in a row. That's pretty rare for them. So I'm just sitting back. This is a Davey, Petey, Robbie watch game.
I was thinking about this. Bennington's probably going to start because Allen started the other night against Buffalo. But I like David Perron in this game. And I actually had two Vegas Golden Knights, Riley Smith and Alex Tuch, because of their price point is good. Although I was kind of worried, like, how much are they really going to score? But I think that this could be a 5-4 game or something. They're both good offenses. I mean, we know the goalies are both good, too. But I'm going to watch this game, but I also got a lot riding on it.
77% of bets right now are on St. Louis for a nice response game. The only thing that worries me a little bit about St. Louis, their line combinations recently have been in a total blender. And I think this is at the point now where we're starting to see the Tarasenko injury chip and chip away, as it has been slowly. Now it's to the point where they're trying all these kind of wacky combinations.
And you brought up 77% of the bets are on St. Louis, but the interesting part about that is the line is going down. They opened up at minus 120. They're now minus 114. Again, this is not a game that I'm going to wager on. I don't want any part of it, but wouldn't be surprised if Vegas comes out with a victory. With the way St. Louis has played, they've been pretty bad.
What about an underplay here? I mean, these two teams are going to be tight checking. It's going to be probably a physical game. They've got a couple injuries on both sides, or kind of wacky line combinations for the Knights too. Do you think that might sway people to take the under?
Yeah, it's two good goaltenders either way. We mentioned how Subban filled in admirably, but we think it's going to be Fleury because he injected some life into that team the other day. That was a no contest game against Chicago the other day. I would tap in the one combination I like lately, especially like with some of the shorthanded points. I like Riley Smith, how he's like all times he's with William Karlsson. On the penalty kill, on the power play, even strength, Riley Smith's really underrated, and I would try to get him in your lineup tonight.
I like the vision that Robbie has on the under. It's at 5.5. It's very difficult to take the under when it's 5.5 in this day and age with the NHL, but the fact that it is 5.5 tells me the under, I would lean that way.
This is a game that, for the over-under, I'm staying away from, but what I do like in the Islanders-Florida game, I took the under there because we know how good the Islanders goalies are. Bobrovsky's kind of turned it around lately. So that's the game to me that I see this could be a very low-scoring game. So Islanders-Florida, I stayed away from players, but I like the under there.
81% of people agree with you.
I think that, Bob is worth taking here for $7,700. The Islanders have had, a day or two off since their last game. Not a ton of offensive fantasy value. I mean, it bounces around. Have you seen their top line lately? It's Bailey and Ross Johnston with Matthew Barzal. Yep. Johnston scored a goal against Tampa Bay, but that guy has been mostly a healthy scratch the past couple of years, so that's a weird one.
I mean, just going back to that, the overall concerns about the Islanders here, that is the epitome of my concerns. Mm-hmm. When they've got a guy like that on the top line with Barzal. I mean, I want to see what Barzal can really do with a winger that can score 35 goals. That's what I want to see for Matthew Barzal. I don't want to see Ross Johnston there.
I'm sure he doesn't want to see Ross Johnston there in his contract year either, being a potential 2020 RFA.
I'm sure every Islanders fan in America doesn't want to see Ross Johnston on the ice, let alone with Barzal. You're right. The Islanders need some extra ponies. At some point, they need some ponies, and I think Lou's going to go try to get some ponies. Whether he's going to be able to get the horse in Taylor Hall, it's not going to happen, unlikely, but he's going to get a couple ponies to help him out offensively.
So what about a recent coaching change matchup tonight? We have Toronto visiting the Calgary Flames. Both teams have looked pretty darn good after the coaching change. Calgary at home is hard to turn away from. The only thing I will say, though, about that, they've been playing some tight hockey games lately. A lot of schedule notes over the past week for them. I think they've played like 4 games in 7 days. So they might be a little bit tired tonight, and Toronto is a bad opponent to not have your legs for.
Freddie Anderson's playing really well right now, and I think we were talking a couple of days ago. His save percentage is up to .921, which is in line for the best of his career, maybe, but his past 5 years, he's like between .916 and .921. He's all in that range. One of the most consistent goalies in the league, and whether or not I'm going to start him in Calgary, but Calgary's offense is rolling right now, so I'm not saying I would go spend up for him in DFS. I'm just going to roll him out because I love him in my season-long leagues.
I am going with Calgary tonight, but I think it's going to be very low scoring. I just think they've been playing better than Maple Leafs have been playing good, but Calgary, they've just been clicking since that change. And I think you said the fact that they're at home, I give them a little bump there. I think they'll win in a close one.
Robbie's right about the schedule, though. So they went out, tough game against Colorado. Mm-hmm. They win that game. Then at Arizona, correct?
Yep.
They win that game, and now taking on the Leafs, who seem to be playing a little bit better and getting some fantastic goaltending. Mm-hmm. You're right. If they're not ready to go and their legs are a little shaky, I like Toronto in this matchup.
I actually like the over in this matchup, Davey, not to disagree solely with you, but when I look at these two teams, David Rittich, who quietly was one of the better goalies in fantasy right now, just because he starts every single game, he's been allowing a lot of goals. And Freddie Anderson, I know he's been playing better. I think he could get the W tonight, but I do think Calgary, they're good for 3 goals every game now. And Toronto's good for 3 goals every game now. So if that's 3-3 heading into overtime, my math suggests that's going to be a 4-3 game.
Yeah, that's what I mean for season long. You got to roll both of those guys out, even though you are a little worried about the opposing offense. Like Sean Monahan's playing really, really well right now for Calgary. But one note in this game that could deter from loading up on the offense of Calgary is that Matthew Tkachuk, right, missed the game because of an injury the last one in Arizona. So see if he plays. If he doesn't, maybe go with the under. I like that idea.
What I like to do with Calgary at home, this is not the first time I've mentioned it, take a look at the game, see how it's going. If they're down a goal or down 2 goals in the third period or so, take them on the live line at a tremendous price. Mm-hmm. They're a great third period team, especially at home. It seems like they get the skating going late and can come back from any deficit. Good value there in that spot.
Now, sorry, Rob. That's actually a great
Davey coming in hot.
That's actually a great point by Bob. Last year, they were the leading team in third period goals, third period comebacks. They've done it this year. Not as much, but you're right. I like that play.
Davey's on probation if it happens again. All right, you need to make visual contact, stay in touch with your co-host. A lot of jumping in. I understand you only do a show once a week or so, but Davey, probation is coming if it happens again.
And I think Monty was up there in game-winning goals last year, if not led the league. So prop bet alert for that. One gripe I want to bring up on today's...
Excuse me, Rob. Excuse me. And by the way, as I was yelling at Davey, his phone is going off. So clearly, not your head's not in the right spot here, Davey. We're doing a program, please.
The ladies are calling in for Davey's advice in the net position. But one gripe I wanted to bring up on the show today with the Arizona Coyotes, why on earth did they start Antti Raanta against the Flames? There was no explanation for that. He's lost a couple games in a row. His save percentage is dwindling. He's not the same player as he was last year, where you have Darcy Kemper, who's in Vezina conversation. What are you doing?
Yeah, that was weird. With Calgary was on the second of back-to-back, but still, I mean, I have the tandem in our joint league. Mm-hmm. We have the tandem, and I think another league I have Raanta. I'm thinking of dropping him as a standalone in my other league, especially after that performance.
I would have had Kemper start both those games tonight against Chicago and that one, but I don't know why I was as clueless as you guys. I had no idea what they were doing. Kemper is the guy. He's been the guy.
It totally kills the momentum when you make a coaching decision like that. You're on a roll. Your team's playing well. Your goalie's playing lights out every night. He had a feud with Matthew Tkachuk to Kemper. I mean, that's even more reason to get this guy in the lineup. Tkachuk didn't play in the game. So, again, for fantasy-wise, or gambling-wise, if you're making picks on these games and you see a bonehead move like that around 4 p.m., cancel the bet or change your bet.
Abort.
Yeah.
Abort. And you took Arizona on the show before this news had come out, and I came down to Robbie, and he was fuming over this. So I like to see the passion come out today. You were upset, couldn't understand it, scratching your head, and right away you said, I'm off Arizona. Mm-hmm. Okay, send out an alert to all the listeners. I am off Arizona.
Mm-hmm. And might I add, that was an important game. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Calgary's only 2 points behind the Coyotes. Coyotes have had a breakout season. You know what? Compared to Calgary, who was off the rails for a 7-game stretch, that doesn't look too good right now. I mean, you don't have any ground on them anymore.
No, quit trying to force a timeshare when there's no business being a timeshare when Kemper's played lights out. Now, for Chicago tonight, they're starting to get a little bit healthy. Keith and Shaw still on the shelf, but for fantasy-wise, they're not doing much anyway. Do you like some road appeal here for the Blackhawks?
I do. I saw the Coyotes are favored. They haven't been playing great. They play well on the road. Some of the home games are a stinker. One thing to keep in mind, when the Blackhawks play in Arizona, there are a lot of red Chicago jerseys, and I like Dylan Strome more than I like Nick Schmaltz in that rematch because he plays with Kane and DeBrincat.
I was thinking of taking DeBrincat in this one, but the price, it didn't fit in, especially with my expensive goalie, so I couldn't do that. But I wouldn't be surprised if Chicago, you're right, Pete, the fans, it brings out energy there. They're on the road. I think that they could have some appeal tonight.
I agree. I think that's where I'm leaning as well. Now, Vancouver Canucks here at home against the Carolina Hurricanes. We saw Dougie Hamilton score from center ice against the Oilers the other night. So tell me he's at least in one of our lineups here.
He's definitely in my lineup. He's $6,200. I don't care how expensive he is, which to me that seemed like it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But the guy scores a point every game. He does everything. You have to get him in the lineup.
I had him the other night. I mentioned that I had him, but I didn't even say anything because nothing needs to be said anymore. The guy is a top five defenseman at his floor at this point, and right now is looking like the clear number two behind Johnny Norris.
And it's incredible that Carlson's even playing this well this year, because without him, I mean, Dougie Hamilton, what he's doing this year, everybody would be talking about that if not for John Carlson. So I'm with you, Davey. If you can fit him in your roster, even though he's a defenseman and that might be a less valuable position in DFS, you got to get this guy going every time they play.
And Rob, if you win our work fantasy league, I want to kick back, because a week into the season, I said, hey, I got Roman Josi, Alex Petrangelo, Torrey Krug. We have a max of three defensemen. I can't fit this guy.
1 second later,
Robbie snatches him up and the rest is history. So there you go.
One guy that's getting going for Carolina, who's visiting, continuing their road trip. It's kind of a lot of travel on their current road trip. They're playing Vancouver here after we were talking about Hamilton. So, Nino Niederreiter is back up top with Sebastian Aho, who said the other day that he wants to try to score 5 points every single night. Mm-hmm. You love that as a fantasy owner. Tap into Nino.
No doubt. And I think we've been waiting for this from Nino for a little bit. Even last year, he was fantasy relevant for stretches. I think what you have to realize is he's a streaky player. If you've got a spot starter, get rid of him, pick up Nino for the time being. Mm. You're probably going to have to drop him eventually, but I love the hits coverage he provides.
Before I tee you guys up for a recap of the DFS picks and your best bets, I mean, we went through most of the schedule. Anything on the Kings and the Ducks? Anything on the Rangers and the Sharks, which I think we talked about a little bit? Any DFS players you're zeroing in on those two games?
I mean, same thing I said the other day, Kaapo Kakko. It took until 19:30 of the third period, but he got an assist on Panarin's power play goal and is playing with Panarin and Zibanejad at even strength. So he's like mid $5,000 range. Keep riding him, even though the Rangers got rocked the other day by the Kings.
Right. They lost to the Kings, but he played well in that game, had so many chances. Mm-hmm. Quick was phenomenal in net. Mm-hmm. I was happy about it because the Kings were one of my locks. So good job by Quick. But Kakko was around the net all game long, plenty of chances.
It was good.
And at some point, you know, he's going to get a goal or he's going to have a couple assists.
And we've seen this from him all year. There's been so many games where he's pesty out there. He's winning pucks down low on the boards, throwing the puck out, good chances, but he doesn't seem to end up on the score sheet too often. So, Davey, it really wouldn't surprise me if we see a big second half push here from the rookie.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's one of those guys where I have him on one of my teams. I've held on to him, and I said, you know what, maybe this is the week. I keep holding on, hoping, but I'm kind of running out of time, but we've seen what I've seen out of him lately, I like. And you mentioned the LA-Anaheim game. Got no one in this game. It's at 10:30, so we know Rob's not watching. If
no
it was
way.
At 7 o'clock, he wouldn't be watching. If it was at 1 o'clock and he were in the office, he probably still wouldn't be watching,
nope.
But maybe.
Hey, he's off tomorrow, though. Robbie's off, so maybe he could pull an all-nighter and watch the Sharks and see how they do under the new head bench boss.
If the night before Robbie's day off is spent watching the Ducks Kings, then we really need to get him checked in.
Oh, I meant Sharks Rangers.
Oh, Sharks Rangers?
That's passable.
Yeah,
that's at least passable.
Man, if you're watching the other
There's
one.
A chance there. There's a chance. Yeah. I mean Ducks Kings, if that were to happen, I don't know if I'd allow him in the studio ever again.
With the weird thing about that game, though, is, boys, from a gambling and from a DFS perspective, it's going to be so low ownership, completely untouched. If you have a guy like Kopitar in your lineup and he scores tonight, you're going to automatically be in the top half of the leaderboard. So am I taking anybody from this game? Absolutely not. Would I recommend watching this game? Hard no. But, you know, for DFS-wise, if I can rework my lineup to either get a Getzlaf or a Kopitar, I might consider it.
Right, and if you fit in like a Toffoli who had, a multi-point game the other day against the Rangers, nobody's going to own that guy. And it was funny, we mentioned him as his UFA status, and then he's had a big game, so maybe he was listening. You never know.
Toffoli's been really non-existent for a team that has relied on him to kind of be that next guy.
Yep.
Oh, boy, he's been bad. But enough with this Ducks-Kings. I'm just proud of my Ducks. The Ducks are in the mix. The point total, season point total, it's going to go over. I just know it. This is a 13-14 team. It's perfect. Their total was like in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know? Come on.
Where's Kovalchuk?
Doesn't play anymore.
Yeah.
It's sad. Kovalchuk needs a change in scenery. Toffoli needs a change in scenery.
Yeah. I think we can get Kovalchuk and DeBoer reunited in Jersey. How about that?
Hey, I like the DeBoer New Jersey talk, Davey. Sign me up for that.
And I wanted to mention, too, with everything that has gone wrong with the Sharks, give DeBoer some credit. They have had the best penalty kill in the NHL all season. I remember one of the first week of the season we noticed that trend.
Wow.
Sure enough, right now, day after the coaching firing, first in the league, penalty kill. He should get a job soon somewhere else.
All right, guys, listen, let's recap our DFS plays real quick. For the listeners of this podcast, the reason we're going to speed this up a little bit, we got Rick Bowness, the new interim head coach of the Dallas Stars. He'll be calling in shortly for Dan Rosen and Sean Rourke, NHL at the Rink. Subscribe for free. Bowness should be a good interview. God, there's a lot of stuff going on with the Stars right now, so hopefully he'll be able to keep that ship steady. Boys, DFS plays, Peter, ready and raring to go. Let's rip through them, and then we'll give our best bets.
So I got Jack Eichel and Rasmus Dahlin. Keep an eye on whether or not he plays, because if he doesn't, I'll give you some contingency options. I got Tomas Hertl for now. Every time this guy plays the Rangers, I think of that game where he had the four goals and put it between his legs. I'm sure he'll have some extra confidence with the coaching change as well. Only 5,700. I got Svechnikov, who's been great on the first power play for Carolina. Cassian. Pacioretty has at least five shots, I think, in like five of his past six games. So I like him, even though I was not sure who's going to win that Vegas-St. Louis game. Brian Rust, Keith Yandel, and I'll go Kaapo Kähkönen again. I liked how he returned value in the loss the other day. And even though Edmonton has some appeal, Kakinen's very cheap in FanDuel.
Instinctually, I love the Sharks in this game. With the coaching change, the biggest issue, as we all know, the position players may come out like wild and play really well, but they may not get the win because Martin Jones is so bad in net. So it's so tricky, this team.
And what you've said, I think, the last show, when everybody counts the Rangers out, they could blow your doors off. So something to keep in mind there. Sharks are big favorites at home after all this mess.
So I'm trying to make a tweak here live on the show with my lineup. I don't have good service in this building for God only knows what reason. We're in the middle of Manhattan here, but that's a rant for another day. So to kick it off here by memory, Jack Eichel center, Evgeny Malkin center, Brian Rust wing, Samson Reinhardt wing, Patrick Laine wing, John Joseph Marino D, Colton Soucy from the Wild, get all over this guy for $3,800. Martin Jones, hate to say it, but he's in my lineup too. And then my last wing position, I had Brandon Tanev in there for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but I'm thinking I'm going to try and get Toffoli in there for a nice little swapsy.
Davey?
Well, I think, first of all, Rob, that's a great – yeah, you just mentioned it. You have a king there. They're playing late. No one's going to have him. And you had four Penguins. That's a lot. If they score one goal, you're done. Okay, so Davey's lineup. Centers, as we mentioned, we all have Eichel. I got Stahl on Carolina. He's only 4,800. Rust, Perron, Riley Smith, and Alex Tuck on the wings. They're all under 5,555. Hamilton, Ryan Pulak, Islanders, 4,700. You know, he's on the power play. He does a lot. If he 1 point, 2 points, he's worth it right there. And Connor Hellebuck, let's get that shutout tonight against Detroit.
Okay, Davey, boy, with confidence.
Not playing any games.
Flexing.
That's risky. That is risky.
Oh, baby. Okay, for a Thursday, premium plays. Please, premium plays. Listen to the program. We give them out every single day. And you know what? We've been lining your pockets all season long. Let's keep the ship rolling. Let's start with, doesn't look like Robbie or Davey's ready for the premium play, so we're going to start with Petey, who's always ready for the premium plays.
Oh, so I wanted to mention my contingency. If Dahlin doesn't play, I would go Dylan Strome instead of Hertl, and I would go Bob against the Islanders. So I like the way we were talking about the Bob versus either Greiss or Varley matchup. I like the under in that game for Florida and the Islanders. I like the Sabres at home to keep the good times rolling. They are, what, points in seven of their past eight or eight of their past nine? Can't remember, but the Sabres are playing really well right now, so I would go with them. And then I like the Blackhawks at the Coyotes for those reasons that I mentioned earlier as the underdogs and Strome's return.
My lock of the night is the Pittsburgh Penguins.
All right, well, that's all we're going to get. Okay, I got a three hat trick parlay for all the listeners out there. Calgary over Toronto, straight up win. Mm. Vancouver over Carolina, win. Mm. Take that with the Islanders, Florida under, as I mentioned earlier.
Nice.
That's it. Those three right there.
If I were to do a hammer play of the day, I think I'm on board with that Islanders, Florida under. So I agree with you guys there. And then for my lock of the night, you know, I'm vacillating between two games, one of which is the Toronto Maple Leafs at Calgary. I know Calgary is rolling, but the schedule, the last couple games, it hasn't been easy. So maybe there's a bit of a letdown. And is Tkachuk playing? Not sure, right? So keep an eye on that. And then, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow Robbie here. I'm going to take the Sharks at the big price, which I don't love to do. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if this team doesn't show life tonight, I don't know if they're ever going to show life. So it's time. It's time to wake up, all right? EK65, as Robbie likes to call him. be the elite player we know you can be, because mm-hmm. this mediocre garbage isn't flying for me, and it's not going to fly for me tonight because I'm taking the Sharks. Let's go.
Let's go, Martin Jones and the San Jose Sharks and Bob Bugner. Let's get these guys going tonight, please.
And let's remind people, like, I would take that gamble on Carlson every season, mm-hmm. given that opportunity to sign that guy long term. But I know some Sharks fans on Twitter are not... they're not happy about the ripple effect of the Sharks signing Carlson mm-hmm. for so much money for an up-and-down player the past few years.
So hit us up on Twitter, at D. Satriano for Davies.
Close, David Satriano.
Okay, at D. David Satriano for Davies. Sorry, I don't know why I don't remember that one every time. At NHL Reese for me, at NHL Jensen for Pete, easier to remember. For us here, and then for Bobby, it's at AirChecked.
Mm-hmm. Hit me up. I'll be in my soft clothes tonight. Big Thursday slate of pucks, and we'll be with you tomorrow. I think it's going to be the executive producer is still thinking about what the line combinations are going to be, but I think it's going to be old Petey and Davey doing a program. Davey, are you on board for the Friday program? Do you got to get that cleared with the Mahogany Row folks?
Davey will be all good. There's, what, 3-4 games on a Friday, so nothing else to worry about
great.
But this podcast right here.
Davey Sats. Who's better than him? Petey. Put a bow on the program.
Let's go. Hit us up with your last-minute questions. Get in on that FanDuel contest while you still can, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on NHL Fantasy on Ice.